All right, you guys, it is a very tangled web that we weave. I'm referring to me and Jean-Michel Trogneau, okay? Jean-Michel Trogneau has been so protected and has worn so many faces and has clearly gotten away with that across so many decades that you can almost understand the sheer arrogance. Imagine being so protected that you force multiple nation states to collude to hide the obvious fact that you were born with a penis, right? That is real power. I am talking satanic power, though. And the antidote to Satan is always Christ. Truth will reign supreme in the end. So welcome back to Candace. Get comfortable, you guys, because it is going to be a long week. I have so many explosive revelations to share with you, and now it feels especially urgent, right? Don't you feel a sense of urgency right now in the wake of me having learned that France apparently paid for my assassination and that the French Foreign Legion was apparently involved and on the ground at UVU on the day of Charlie Kirk's assassination? And we should probably begin there. Foremost, if you were one of the people online who believed for a single second that it was even a remote possibility that I simply made up a French assassination attempt heading into Thanksgiving week, I don't know, for like attention or something, I sat around and I said, I'm just not getting enough attention. How can I start a global conversation about me? And then I came up with this idea of creating fan fiction where I imagined myself as the victim of a multinational state plot to murder me. Yeah, if you thought that for a single second, that it was for funsies because I'm not busy or anything, then you're just not sober. You're not paying attention to anything and you need to wake up real fast. We're going to move quickly through a lot of things this week because everyone in the world needs to wake up to how things actually work. LOL to the idea of Western democracy. LOL to the idea that you can win in life and that everything's basically you've set the stage for a meritocracy and you can get ahead. No, actually, as you learn things, you become a target. You become a target to people that operate in the shadows. And that is, I think, what we are all learning in the wake of the last couple of months, especially. Now, going back to November 25th, I obviously tweeted exactly what I was informed, okay? I'm going to read that tweet to you in its entirety. Urgent. 2 days ago, I was contacted by a high-ranking employee of the French government. After determining this person's position and proximity to the French couple, I have deemed the information that they gave me to be credible enough to share publicly in the event that something happens. In short, this person claims the Macrons have executed upon and paid for my assassination. Yes, you read that correctly. More specifically, that the green light was given to a small team in the National Gendarmerie Intervention Group. I am told there is one Israeli that is on the assassination squad and that plans were formalized. Again, this person provided concrete proof that they are well placed within the French government apparatus. Further to this point, this person claims that Charlie Kirk's assassin trained with the French Legion 13th Brigade with multi-state involvement. Journalist Xavier Poussard's life is also at risk. This is deadly serious. The head of state of France apparently wants us both dead and has authorized professional units to carry this out. I ask that every person retweet and share this. I do not know who in the American government can be trusted since this source claims that our leaders are aware. But I have more specific information, which is definitively verifiable, should they care to reach out to me and to the brave official in France who did this because they were so moved by the evil of Charlie's public execution to risk their own life. May God bless you truly. Let all be revealed. Now, I got even more specific, right? I said there was a paper trail that Macron allegedly paid $1.5 million. And I am saying allegedly because until I can physically see with my own eyes inside of these accounts and verify the transfer of that payment, it's of course alleged. The amount is alleged. Two assassins were hired, one Israeli, one French-Canadian woman, okay, a man and a woman. And I also said that the money ran through the elite gentleman Club des Saints. Again, I was very specific. And I asserted that the French Foreign Legion, which was a legion and a group that I had never heard about prior to this notification, were involved in Charlie Kirk's assassination. Okay, I don't follow military stuff. So me even mentioning specific gendarmerie, you have to assume that I got this information from somebody. Now, if you are, in fact, currently at this moment, the first man of France, that would be Brigitte Macron, and you are currently suing a podcaster in America named Candace Owens for defamation, for telling the truth, right? And the story that you are trying to sell to the public is that you were really deep down in your heart, you really believe that you are a woman and Candace is just crazy and desperate for clicks and willing to defame you for money, then Candace Owens publicly proclaiming and accusing you of something akin to, not akin to, directly implicated in her assassination, a claim which has gone viral. When I say viral, I mean just the tweet alone had over 100,000 retweets and 45 million impressions on X alone, okay? This would be your unique opportunity as the French first man to prove your case about Candace to the public, right? In the court of public opinion. This would be your time to slam dunk. Remember, the French couple has been so psychotically obsessed with trying to paint me as conflicted in my reporting that they even hired a private investigator to try to see if I was colluding with other state actors. You know, they kind of gloriously insinuated that I might be working with Russia. They paid for that. They paid for that investigation. So using that logic, wouldn't this be the opportunity, if you're the French couple, to come out and to prove your point, to make a stunning and a swift statement, right? We are shocked by the accusation. Of course, never in a million years. Oh, we told you guys, this is just for clicks. It's for money. This is beyond anything we've ever heard. I hope Candace gets well soon. That would be what I would say you should do if I'm advising you from a PR statement, a standpoint, right? In American basketball terms, this is like a flagrant foul and you now get some free throws, right? If you're the French couple, you're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees, investigative fees, and PR fees in a country on the other side of the Atlantic, trying desperately to paint me as a lunatic. And I give you the opportunity to spike the ball to prove that I'm a lunatic. And you don't do it? No, they didn't do it, did they? If you've been paying attention, they did not do it. Of course, they send out the people on Twitter who get to come out and say, oh, I think she's crazy. I think she's making it up. They do this. We are always doing this every week. Oh, Trump never called her about Brigitte Macron. She's making that up for attention. Oh, she's lying. Charlie Kirk never changed his mind about Israel. She's making that up for attention. This is what we do every week, right? We're hamsters on a wheel. And so we're back to that again. Right? People saying that I made it up. But what did the French couple do? That's what matters. It's now been a full week since I made that announcement. And here is the official response issued by the Élysée Palace. Nothing. Nothing. I want you to bear in mind that this was front page global news from the United States to Russia. And I publicly challenged, the Candace is making everything up crowd to prove it. Press the White House for a response, right? The White House is, the ball's very firmly in their court. And a week later, this is the official White House response. So what are we to make of that, you guys? Did I report it to the White House? Of course I reported it to the White House. Did I report it to the FBI? Of course I reported it to the FBI. Did I report it to our counterterrorism unit? Of course, I reported it because I'm telling you there's a paper trail. Common sense. You think I'm just doing that because I'm assuming you could get a felony for making something up out of thin air like that. You can't just use United States resources to go after somebody in a plot that never existed that you did for clicks on YouTube. So what's the issue here? Why is no one coming out and telling you that that's completely baseless, especially the Charlie Kirk assassination? The whole world is invested in that assassination. Wouldn't you want to shut that down? The idea that it was a multinationally planned event And by the way, is that on its face even plausible? Multiple agencies and multiple countries involved, from Egypt to Israel. People are saying that's totally crazy. No, it's the lone shooter who had never been on campus, who climbed the roofs like Spider-Man, happened to know where Charlie would be sitting and hit that shot in 4 seconds. Is it plausible that that's not the truth? Of course it's plausible. Anyone who knows anything about the French government probably knows that they have an appetite for cruelty and sexual deviancy. Anybody who has made it through the first couple of episodes of Becoming Brigitte knows that the French government has an appetite for cruelty and sexual deviancy, okay? LOL, the city of romance, really? Romance with who, exactly? That's one of the broader points of the Becoming Brigitte series. And so I'd like to thank Pavel Durov, the founder of Telegram, for being one of the first people to stick out his neck immediately and to assert what the entire world already knows about France. Here's what he said. He said, after reviewing everything Charlie Kirk has ever said about Macron's France, I find Candace's information about French involvement in his death entirely plausible. Charlie even called for 300% tariffs on France until the charges against me were dropped. And I also would like to shout out Freddie Ponton, who wrote this article reminding people, and when I say reminding, I mean teaching people, if you're me, because I didn't know this, that exactly this satellite of countries, France, Israel, the French Legion, the United States, Egypt, were quite literally involved in exactly this sort of operation, which further reaching global implications, involving the Safari Club in Egypt. Now, if you haven't heard of that, this was the article that he wrote, passed as prologue, Safari Club illuminates Candace Owens' allegations. I had never heard of this. I really hadn't, okay? Because I feel like I'm Alice in Wonderland. A few years ago, I kind of believed everything the government said. I thought there were good guys. And after the Charlie Kirk assassination, I'm going, oh, wait, no. Nobody is a good guy. These are like gangs that are running the world, obviously. Gangs that have gone mainstream. And democracy and the idea of a republic is just an illusion. Well, anyways, in that article, I'm only going to read a paragraph from it, but he said, when Candace Owens claimed on X that a high-ranking French government insider warned her of an imminent plot to have her assassinated, alleging that President Emmanuel Macron and his wife Brigitte had authorized and financed the operation, assigning it to a small national gendarmerie intervention group team that included an Israeli operative, she also suggested that Charlie Kirk's assassin trained with the French Legion with multi-state involvement. The claim sounded like it belonged to the realm of conspiracy thrillers, and yet, as the allegation ricocheted across social media, something unusual happened. People did not instinctively laugh it off. Some dismissed it, yes, but many hesitated, paused, or quietly admitted that given the right circumstances, given the right network of covert actors, such a plot didn't feel entirely impossible. That hesitation doesn't come from trust in Owens. It comes from history. And sure enough, and I'm just pulling up the Wikipedia page here. You should go read that article in its entirety. But the Safari Club, man, a covert alliance of intelligence services formed in 1976 that ran operations around Africa when the United States Congress had limited the power of the CIA after years of abuses, they decided to kind of go overseas to handle business. They had members in pre-revolutionary Iran, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Morocco, and France. Israel's involved, Rhodesia, South Africa. I mean, it tells you there that the process is then led, resulted in the 1979 Egypt-Israel peace treaty. Peace. Okay, cool. Like I said, read more about that. Now, in terms of formal replies that we received from government structures, the only department that we did hear back, well, first let me say I did not at all hear back from the FBI on the American side. I did hear back from the counterterrorism unit. I did hear back from the White House confirming that that message had been delivered on Trump's desk, me saying that I had the information. I guess he didn't want to inquire further, which is interesting. But the FBI left me on read. And I will say I didn't go through an official channel and send an email, and I should do that. But I did send a text message to somebody very high up who received the text message. No response. Now, I thought that the claim of the French Foreign Legion being involved in Charlie's assassination, I thought the FBI might be interested. No, no phone calls even from Utah's FBI branch have come into me either. Wouldn't you want to see? Aren't we supposed to be investigating the Charlie Kirk assassination? It was totally not a state operation, and they really want to get to the truth, which explains why nobody called. No, Utah, not interested. I'm actually surprised Tyler Robinson's lawyer hasn't reached out to me. What's going on here? Now, we've got to protect the Patsy, right? We've got to protect the Patsy in this situation. Regarding the only official that we did receive any sort of a public response from, it reads to me like a confession. Let me know if you agree. So I pointed out that interestingly enough, after I began researching the French Legion, I very quickly stumbled upon the fact that they were also involved in a joint operation with American troops in the exact weeks leading up to Charlie's assassination. More specifically, according to the, you know, French Foreign Legion website, between August 2nd and August 25th of this year, the Legionnaires from the 4th Company, 2nd Foreign Infantry Regiment, the 6th Light Armored Brigade, were integrated with U.S. Marines of the 6th Marine Regiment for a 3-week training deployment, okay? That took place in California. Okay. And then once that training ended, I said this online, another camp began immediately. It was a joint exercise with civilians, which included military men from the Minot Air Force Base. And that joint exercise took place in Minnesota at Camp Ripley. And that ran just for a couple of days until August 27th. And that was known as Operation Valhalla. Okay, random 3-day exercise with civilians. And I was wondering if the French Legionnaires that were in California maybe jumped right into activities going on with these civilians at Camp Ripley. But I typoed on X and I wrote Camp Riley. Okay, so I wrote, it's not a coincidence that the French Legionnaires were in the United States training with our Marines for 3 weeks. And when those 3 weeks ended in California, another military training exercise began alongside civilians at Camp Riley in Minnesota. Should have said Ripley. Now, you will recall, for those of you who are following the Becoming Brigitte series, that the preferred Macron response is to never address the substance of the claims, but to instead focus on minor details that somebody may get wrong. That's how they've gone after every journalist who has covered the fact that Brigitte Macron was born a male, right? Oopsies, you messed up on this one detail, and now we're going to sue you for defamation. But not, of course, the substance, which is like, hey, you lived as a man for a very long time, and the military won't release your file, and we don't know what you were doing in the military, as Jean-Michel Trogneau. So me making a spelling error was the perfect way for them to attack the broader story, right? The larger story here being, hey, the French Legionnaires might have been on the ground during Charlie Kirk's assassination. So what happened is the Minister of the Armed Forces issued the following statement in France, and I'm going to quote this for you, quote, Tyler Robinson was never part of the French Foreign Legion. If he did not serve in an American military unit, he could not have trained with the French Foreign Legion. End quote. Well, that's quite a way to dance around things. Said Charlie Kirk says, I see what you did there. You just missed the fact that we don't think Tyler Robinson did. So you just are issuing a statement. This is bogus. Tyler Robinson never trained in the French Foreign Legion. Do you mind answering yes or no? If anybody who trained with the French Foreign Legion was on the ground on September 10th at Utah Valley University. And we are asking that explicit question because one of the strangest things is that the UVU students who attended said that they felt like they didn't recognize anybody that was there. It was weird. It was very strange that they advertised for this event really late in the day. And then suddenly we see a bunch of adults and people that they don't recognize at this event. And then afterwards, the national media moves to, it looks like they're almost trying not to interview any UVU students, right? They're interviewing everybody around. You got all these adults who were there, but mysteriously the UVU students who had some interesting tidbits about what was weird that day, just don't flood into the mainstream like we expected them to. Can you answer that question? Yes or no? That seems tricky when it comes to the French government. Yes or no questions are not their thing. Elsewhere in the article, and this is France 24 that reported this, it tells us that, quote, the Ministry of the Armed Forces confirms that a training exercise by the 2nd Foreign Infantry Regiment, a unit of the French Foreign Legion, did indeed take place in California from August 2nd to the 25th, as reported by Candace Owens. However, the exercise announced on the ministry's website and the regiment's Facebook page was not a clandestine operation. The Ministry of the Armed Forces formally denies that another Foreign Legion training exercise took place at a supposed Camp Riley in Minnesota after the conclusion of the California exercise, and for good reason, because no Camp Riley exists in Minnesota. As Andy Parrish, the former chief of staff to the Republican state representative, pointed out on X. Oh, there is, however, a Camp Ripley, they go on, but this inaccuracy speaks volumes about the credibility of Candace Owens's alleged source. So that's how they're debunking it. A typo. I put Riley, not Ripley, and they can now confirm that the French Legion did not take part in any exercise at Camp Riley because it doesn't exist, and Candace Owens is stupid, and so now you should just assume that everything else source said is debunked. This is what you call a non-debunking debunk, a Snopes-level debunking over a typo, okay? And I guess my other allegations should not be answered or even explored. Now, I should mention also that after that civilian military exercise ended at Camp Ripley on the 27th, another joint military operation began from August 29th through to September 10th, the day that Charlie was shot. And that was known as Operation Bright Star. And that took place in Cairo, Egypt. Now, it is a biennial joint military operation. It's co-hosted by the United States and Egypt to enhance regional security and to strengthen military partnerships. I just don't love the timing of all of these things. I just don't love France and Egypt and the United States together for the whole month leading up to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. So I'm going to speculate until we get some answers, some straight yes or no answers from the White House, from the Elysee Palace, or from the French security forces. Now, as it pertains to the French Legion, something else that's kind of interesting is that they basically gutted and replaced about half of their leadership in mid-August. Check out this article published on August 20th. In 2025, a change of command took place across 6 regiments. Now, we researched, and look, I'm not a military buff, but we found that they have 12 regiments that are known of, and you're telling me that they gutted leadership of 6? They put in 6 new commanders? Again, I just don't love the timing of all of this. Initially, the idea of French involvement in Charlie's assassination would not have been on my radar, okay? Having them at UVU would not have been on my radar at all until we learned about that weird hangar lease in Delaware and we were trying to track the Egyptian plane, SUBTT, our yellow plane, which departed on the morning of Charlie Kirk's assassination from Provo, went over to Wilmington, Delaware. We learned that regarding that hangar, Satis, which is a French company, injected $1.5 million ostensibly to paint planes, okay, in Wilmington, Delaware, a lease that is way too short for that, whatever. And they sign off on that the very week that I get sent this cease and desist, despite the fact that I hadn't been speaking about Brigitte. It was just weird, coincidental timing. And it could be a coincidence, but I'm going to now test your resolve at home regarding French coincidences, because for me, it's a little too much is what I'll say, okay? So we learned from a source that a foreign dignitary was escorted, right, from that hangar to 920 North King Street in Wilmington, Delaware, a place that we learned and confirmed had 3 federal agencies working together in one building. The internet can try to debunk that. They can't, okay? The feds are not going to debunk that because it's true. And then we learned that it is also a place which houses the attorneys that are filing my paperwork in the Brigitte lawsuit. I explain this. Delaware has a particular legal stipulation that even if you have your own lawyers, you have to find lawyers that will file the paperwork in your lawsuit, okay? The rules on that vary state by state. We then learn that Brigitte's lawyers in my lawsuit are directly across the street from that firm, okay? Confirmed. We're just warming up, though, because the person that leaks that information about the dignitary being escorted, remember, that person never insinuated that the dignitary was French. But then, after people on the internet pretended that he or she was lying about that information, they decided to conduct further investigation. They watched the episode, and a light bulb goes off in their head because we're talking about Satis being French-owned, and the person decided to follow up and explain to us that France has effectively been running the streets in Wilmington, Delaware since like before the Revolutionary War, okay? Let's just start with a very basic history recap from this person's email. It all checks out. We don't need to get too deep in here regarding Wilmington, Delaware. He or she writes, a short version of the history, which is all verifiable, is that North French Street is actually the northern stretch of the original French Street. Wilmington laid out the original French Street in the early 1700s as Willing Street in Thomas Willing's grid. In the 1790s, a large cluster of French-speaking refugees, many of which were fleeing Haiti and the French revolutions, settled along it, and the nickname French Street took over. This street ran all the way from the Christina River up through town and became a main hub for travel and business. Wilmington is more French than people would initially assume, and it's easy to see this once you look at its history. The North tag of North French Street is a later addressing convention for blocks north of downtown. So that's just a backup there, okay? Now, again, we're going to have to go through this class very quickly. America, the whole idea of what we learn in class about, you know, the Revolutionary War and we were fighting because, oh, we didn't, you know, the monarchy. Okay. England was not even under a monarchy at that time. Okay. And also I have learned in recent years that really the whole history of America is like warring factions of Freemasons. That's the reality. Warring factions of Freemasons competing for American territory. Now we're going to get into the substance of his email. He begins with something that is speculation, and I'm not going to get too deep into, but essentially he says that across from 920 King, there is a red crane, and he's able to confirm that the French are absolutely involved in this somehow. I found direct U.S.-French alignment near 920 North King Street using structural aviation markers, financial lineage, corporate fronts, and historical French corridors. Now, he shows us that this, again, this is across from 920 North King, and it starts with a huge construction site. There's a huge construction site right across from there. And there's a long red crane that he points out. And I'm going to show you that crane right now because this person sent videos, because LOL to anybody who thought that we were being, that actually, I love it because it pissed him off. And now he's really on the ground here. You can see that crane up there. And that's just a reference point to what he's speaking about so that you can follow along here. That crane is situated on 1100 North King Street. Let's bring up the map here so you can see what's going on here, okay? What I found on 1100 North King Street is big. The actual building is called the Brace Bridge Complex. It spans over 1 million square feet. It seems it was originally built for the Maryland Bank as their bank headquarters from 1995 until 2006 when Bank of America acquired it. But in 2018, remember that's going to be the year that Macron comes to power, Bank of America pulled out of a few of the buildings and they left it completely empty. Here is an article showing you that that is true and that Bank of America did in fact pull out of that building. It leaves the Wilmington office space empty. He or she goes on to write, so you might be wondering what happened after it was left vacant. Well, in 2024, legislation was passed which would provide financial support to the Longwood Foundation, a philanthropic nonprofit that was founded by Pierre S. DuPont to make it function as a quote-unquote educational center. There's just one problem with that. Pierre S. DuPont was a member of the French-American family DuPont, which was descended from Pierre Samuel DuPont de Nemours, excuse my terrible French, a French aristocrat. DuPont also has extreme ties to both the American and the French military. Obviously, we know that, as they are the original manufacturers of Kevlar, which has been historically regarded as the greatest way to make bulletproof armor. So now we have this prominent French family connected to this building. I think you're right to keep looking at French. People even shared concerns about what was actually happening at that building. There was a resident named Miriam Deed who said, quote, "I just feel like I don't understand why we're doing this without there being more accountability." So in 2024, and we can show you that article, he's telling the truth, we're fact checking that. People were like, what's going on in this like massive, what is the accountability here with this massive complex, okay? He goes on to say, as you can see, the complex covers six different buildings, all connected to both French Street. You can bring up that map, Chris, whenever, because I'm just going to keep speaking. All connected to both French Street and King Street. Okay. Now, people on X, he goes on, who were trying to pretend that this was some prank, said the FBI is actually at 500 Delaware Avenue, right? And 500 Delaware Avenue is a couple of blocks over. We can show you that on the map as well. Can you pull up 500 North Delaware? And that is also somehow owned by France. Why is the FBI in that building? Who knows? But also having a division inside of this building is true. He says that 500 North Delaware Avenue is a cover because guess what that building is? It's another bank center. This time, it's the Wilmington Savings Fund Society. In 1990, nearly all of Lower Delaware branches of WSFS were sold to Wilmington Trust, which was founded by T. Coleman DuPont, the French-American then president of DuPont, to manage the growing fortune of the French-American DuPont family. And guess where the Wilmington Trust is actually located? It's located at 1100 North Market Street, the building that is right next to 1100 North King Street, and both are on Rodney Square. So again, we're going back to that Rodney Square. Everything is French that's happening on Rodney Square. So they were using another bank as a cover. Doesn't actually disprove anything at all. What you'll also find if you keep researching is that a law firm, MG&M, moved to 500 Delaware Avenue just a few months before Charlie was assassinated. Now, that could be a coincidence, but MG&M has many employees that are either fluent in French or connected to France altogether. The FBI apparently has Suite 300 and MGM has Suite 200, which I believe is exactly right below where the FBI says that they are. Okay. Now he gets back into the crane location, right? Because there seems to be no public record of what the actual construction project is that is happening online, except for the fact that apparently a global biopharmaceutical company called Insight owns it, okay? If they're using this construction site, it seems to me that they're doing it to buy time because I actually know they're using it to buy time because they claim that it's construction in this article. On May 2024, they say that construction is expected to take about a year. Okay, well, it's been over a year. It's been about 2 years. And by the looks of it, the entire top of that building being a skeleton tells me that it's probably going to be a few years after that as well. This is clearly not taking about a year. Also, guess who the longtime CEO of that biopharmaceutical company Insight was? Hervé Hoppenot. And guess what? He's also French. He's not just French, but he is a French national. He seems to have just exited as the CEO, but he is still running the company under the role of advisor to the CEO. He is directly responsible for this construction at Bracebridge, and he was the one that finalized the deal. I find it very strange how he ran this company for more than a decade. Then for some reason, just a few months before Charlie's death, he decides to switch roles and to start laying low. Now, I'm not saying he's directly tied to anything. I'm just saying that these are all verifiable coincidences. Insight, that's the biopharmaceutical company that he runs, is also plugged directly into the federal medical supply chains, which include our VA systems that interface with military healthcare infrastructure. Okay. So to pull us all together, we have an entire French Street that is connected to 920 North King Street, the aircraft hangar and its company Satis, which is French aligned, connected to 920 North King Street, DuPont, the French aligned, connected to 1100 North King Street, the biopharmaceutical company Incyte, which is also French aligned, connected to 1100 North King Street, DuPont, which is connected to 1100 North Market Street. And then we have 1100 North King Street itself, which is connected to 920 North King Street. And we have my lawyers and we have Brigitte lawyers. I am not loving this, okay? I'm just not loving the fact that I get a call from the federal government asking me to stop speaking about Brigitte. And I think that it's kind of a funny story that I'll one day be in my autobiography. Truly, that was my thought. Like, it's funny that we're on the phone talking about, like, the French, why is he married to somebody born in a male? And I clearly was not thinking that there was maybe sort of an implicit threat involved here, like literally just stop speaking about her. And I really do wish going back that they had tried honesty, right? They had said, hey, Brigitte might be an asset to the Mossad, which is what we had received a tip regarding that we were working on confirming during Becoming Brigitte season 2. I wish they had been more explicit and said, we really actually need you to shut up about this forever. I probably would have done it if they were just honest and said it's a national security issue. But instead they went with Emmanuel Macron's feelings are hurt, which I thought was LOL funny, and obviously wanted to continue to speak about this. I don't even know what to make of this other than, and you can tell me if you agree, I feel like I was set up by the federal government in terms of this lawsuit. Like, this wasn't just Brigitte and Emmanuel sitting down making a mistake by filing this cross-natural national lawsuit, but rather federal agencies, which may have been colluding and speaking to one another about how to put an end to my research into who Brigitte was, because all of these governments are implicated, and by all of them, I mean France, the United States, and Israel, implicated in whatever the hell Jean-Michel Trogneau was up to during the missing years of his life when he was in the military and, on its surface, in America. Because Brigitte says he was in America. We know Brigitte was in America in the 60s, at least for the moon landing. No details provided about what Brigitte was doing when he experienced the moon landing with Americans. I'm not getting the feeling that Jean-Michel Trogneau was just chilling at his aunt's house, okay? That was a psychological operation. I'm pretty convinced that Brigitte Macron has been involved on the basis of my lawsuit and the mentioning of MKUltra 18 times, absurdly, in my lawsuit, even though all we said was, hey, Brigitte's fake birthday happens to be the same day as the MKUltra program. I'm thinking there might be something there. Like, Brigitte is involved in the military file. Jean-Michel Trogneau is involved in psychological operations, okay? And I should also mention to you that the second largest shareholder for Satis is Israel. Yeah, it's an Israeli firm based in Tel Aviv called ACE Partners. They are explicit. They only invest in companies and organizations that benefit Israel. That's on their website. This is why we exist. Our mission with ACE is clear: to identify, invest in, and support the most promising startups that will shape the future of aerospace and defense technology. So it's military. And we focus predominantly on companies in their Series A and B funding rounds across aerospace and defense verticals. Our investments are global with a specific focus on Israel. So I'm not being anti-Semitic. That's what ACE Partners does. They are the second largest shareholder to Satis. Why is Israel interested in this hangar in Wilmington, Delaware? You guys, and in case you don't think that we've really hit peak, what the hell is going on? Literally, what from the gates of hell is Brigitte Macron, okay? In case you're not there yet, let me tell you that just to make myself feel good, I said, let me just confirm where Brigitte Macron was on 9/10. That feels like a very easy thing to do. Like, yeah, this is the first lady, man of France. It's a pretty busy season everywhere. We're talking early September. It's back to school. There's a lot going on. And I was very comforted to see that Brigitte Macron had opened Paris Design Week, makes sense, right? Opened Paris Design Week on, I believe, September 4th. Very public, gets kind of photographed with the culture, the Ministry of Culture lady, right? The head of their Ministry of Culture and actual lady. And then Brigitte Macron gets photographed on 9-4 with Zelensky. Zelensky's coming in for a big interstate meeting. And Brigitte Macron sees to it that he's also photographed with Saudi Arabia at some orchestra that Saudi Arabia is putting on. And what's interesting is that it's daytime when that photograph happens. And after that, Brigitte just falls off a cliff for 6 days. Brigitte's just gone for 6 days. And I would really like to know where Brigitte Macron was at for those 6 days, okay? I need to confirm that. I need internet sleuths like you have never seen before. Where was Brigitte Macron on the dates that that Egyptian plane was from 9-4 through to 9-11? Where was Brigitte Macron? I would just like to know. I need to know where Brigitte Macron was. And I think an answer to that question is due. It would just comfort me to know. So I'm asking you guys for help determining the answer to that. I could go on, by the way. Wilmington, Delaware, also being the hub for MK Ultra is especially sweet. The email that we got that it's also the hub for transgenderism in America. Like, who knew that? I certainly didn't. Our first ever trans congressman, you guys. Guess where? Wilmington, Delaware, that congressional district. A bunch of trans surgeries for children, drag time, story hour. Like, they're kind of leading America in the trans stuff. I could go on and on and on about what goes on in Wilmington, Delaware, but I think that's probably enough for right now. So let's take a brief break and we'll come back. All right, you guys, when they double down on abortion, we have to double down on supporting life. Through our partnership with Preborn, we can help save babies and support mothers that are in need. Because every day, Preborn's clinics rescue hundreds of babies. Because when a mother sees her baby on an ultrasound and hears that tiny heartbeat, her chance of choosing life doubles. And now, thanks to a generous match, your gift will also be doubled. That means twice as many ultrasounds, twice as many lives saved, and twice as many mothers that are given hope with diapers, car seats, counseling, and care for up to 2 years. So if you've heard about Preborn before and have not yet taken action, there is no better time than right now. Their work is some of the most important work to help heal our country. One ultrasound is just $28, but you can obviously give 10 times that amount if you're capable of that. Head to preborn.com/Candace to give today. That's preborn.com/Candace. Also, I'm excited to share with you guys C15 from the company Fatty 15. That is the first emerging essential fatty acid to be discovered in more than 90 years. It's an incredible scientific breakthrough to support our long-term health, wellness, and health aging. Based on over 100 studies, we now know that C15 strengthens our cells, and it's a key healthy aging nutrient, which helps slow biological aging at the cellular level. When our cells do not have enough of C15, they become fragile and they age faster. Well, thankfully, Fatty 15 repairs age-related damage to cells, protects them from future breakdown, and activates pathways in the body that help regulate our sleep, our cognitive health, and natural repair mechanisms. Fatty 15 is science-backed. It's award-winning. It's patented. 100% pure C15 supplement. It's free of flavors, allergens, preservatives, and it's also vegan-friendly. Fatty 15 has 3 times more cellular benefits than omega-3 or fish oil. It comes in gorgeous reusable glass bamboo jars, and refills are shipped directly to your front door. Fatty 15 is on a mission to optimize your C15 levels to help support your long-term health and wellness, especially as you age. You can get an additional 15% off their 90-day subscription, their starter kit, by going to fatty15.com/Candace and using code Candace at checkout. Again, that's fatty15.com/Candace and use promo code Candace at checkout. I mean, I actually decided I am going to read this because we're just going in. And this is another tip not related to the person whose email that I just read that made me aware that Wilmington, Delaware is just very French. This person writes to me, hey, you should also know that area is transgendered central. There are 5 different NEMO children hospital centers nearby. Yes, they perform transgender surgeries, or yes, they do transgender rather. A NEMO Children's hospitals are named for Nemours, France, the home of the DuPont family. Hotel DuPont is obviously walking distance from 920 King. First and Central Presbyterian Church is an LGBTQ church that is across from that hotel. Cab Calloway School is a short 10-minute drive, and this is where our transgendered congressman, Mick Bride, graduated from. Theater is a 5-minute walk. They feature transgendered productions with a drag show at least every month. The Queen is an 8-minute walk. They are advertising Disney drag brunches. 20 minutes back toward the airport, you will find a multitude of plastic surgeons. And then they list them. Wilmington University is nearby, where they offer LGBTQ programs for kids. And Transition Delaware LLC, which offers counseling and et cetera, has 2 locations. And then they list them. So it's a lot of transgenderism happening in that area, which is of interest to me. I just started a poll, by the way. We are live on YouTube. I asked a very simple question. Do you think that this lawsuit was an operation against me, that it was meant to bankrupt me? Because options when the federal government is feeling squeezed is to kill you, it's warfare, or it's like mental warfare. They put you in a hospital and say you're crazy and drug you. And like they did to Britney Spears, like they did to Kanye West, or they bankrupt you, right? That's also one of the mechanisms. Do you guys think that this entire thing was a trap because I didn't shut up about Brigitte and that the federal government knew that it was coming, which would explain why they never commented on the absurdity of a foreign nation coming after our speech? They are not acting right. Right. Common sense. You say you care to protect free speech. Why wouldn't you comment on something that involves a foreign leader that is infringing upon the speech of Americans, even if I had made up something about Brigitte, which I did not? So we're going to run that poll until the end of this show, which is coming much sooner than I anticipated. We're not going to get to everything today. Don't worry. I have more for you tomorrow. Like I said, it's going to be a long week. I do want to get to this commentary because I honestly don't even understand what is happening to PBD's show, which I very much used to enjoy. I see clips floating around, so you know it's not fair to paint with a broad brush, but a broad stroke. But I will say that Adam Sosnick is reaching levels of absurdity here. Rather than at all trying to prod the narrative of whether or not there was actually an assassination attempt on my life, he decides to respond to this allegation by saying that I have no famous friends. I kid you not. This is the level of insincerity that you can almost say it's laughable at this moment of people that are engaged in the sport of politics. Take a listen to what Adam Sosnick had to say on Patrick Bet-David's podcast.
Disgusting thing. Forget about what she said about Israel and Jews and BLM and liberals. This is friendship stuff. This is friendship stuff. You, the most valuable currency you have are the relationships you have, your friends. In my opinion, she's burned every bridge she's ever been associated with. Whether that's Turning Point USA, whether that's the Daily Wire, whether that's PragerU, Charlie Kirk, Steven Crowder. I don't know what's going on even in this room, but it's not like we're loving what she's doing these days. I'm asking you a serious question. Who are her friends at this point?
Well, to me, she's very lonely. No, I think she's very close with Tucker. I do think she has a group.
How many more can you name, though? Other than Tucker, yeah. Genuine question. I'm not trying to throw her under the bus. Who's Candace's friends? Who are her allies? Can we name a name? Anyone?
Oh, anyone? She's got more than you would believe.
Name a name.
No, she's got a lot of them.
I'm sure that there's Twitter army out there.
Yeah,
what famous names advocates are saying, I'm with Candace. Tucker, maybe? Who else?
No.
Can't name one.
It's just, I want to guys just, because we got to all wake up to this matrix, okay? First and foremost, nothing he is saying is true. The first thing I'd like to clarify is I have never been friends with Steven Crowder. I just feel like that is really not good dirt to throw on my name. I just have better intuition than that. Secondly, my friend Charlie Kirk just got shot in the neck, hence the reason we're doing this entire podcast investigation into what actually happened on that day. Now, you seem to be naming employers regarding the Daily Wire. I am still friends with every single one of my colleagues that I was friends when I went in there. And yeah, when you leave a job, you don't tend to hang out with management on your way out. So I'm not sure what you're referencing here. If you mean that I am not one of those basic bitches who needs to post every second of when I'm hanging out with people so that people think that I'm cool and I'm surrounded by individuals, you would be right. Because I'm a person who grew up on Kanye West's music. And it's so funny that I was blasting his early music, one of his first songs, All Falls Down, and he speaks about this. This is how they create the Matrix. Insecure men speak like that, okay? They want people who are insecure to allow terrible things to happen because they say, well, you can hang out with me. You can hang out with me. All you have to do is just not talk about the Epstein files, and you might get invited to Mar-a-Lago. Don't you want to be invited to Mar-a-Lago? Don't you want to go to Mar-a-Lago? Then why don't you look away when we talk about children being abused? It's so weird. Like, don't you want to have, like, really all of the invites to Mar-a-Lago? And you can hang out, you can get dressed up and hang out with cool people in Hollywood if you just look the other way when children are being abused. This is that mentality, okay? It's disgusting, it's gross, but more importantly, it is insecure. So I want to remind you guys that your real friends do not need to be famous, okay? My best friends are not famous, and you should be close with your family. You should have real value in your life. Part of the Matrix requires you to have this sort of instinct to think celebrities are cool and that they glitter and they're golden. The majority of them are pretty effed up and drunk. That's the reality. No, and by the way, on the subject of who the kind of people that he's referring to, it was notoriously Eric Bolling that sat across from Adam when they attacked me over Charlie Kirk and lied and said that I hadn't been friends with Charlie Kirk since 2017. After that episode, Eric Bolling sent me an email and apologized and said it was Adam's fault. And he didn't even know Adam's name. I think he called him Sam in the email. I should actually pull it and I'll post it on Instagram. Didn't even know, threw Adam and PBD's entire team under the bus in 3 seconds and said, I just want to apologize with you, Candace, because that's how politics work. They all stab each other in the back and they all do it because they think they're on the pursuit of like fame and riches. We are not going to save the West in general from the absolute sexual deviants that run it, the liars and the crooks that run the West, if we have the attitude that we need to be well-liked by famous people who are all drunk, truly. They're all just a bunch of drunks hanging out in DC. That's the reality of the political field. Get real value in your life. And that's what I want to say about that before I get into some of your questions. Poll is still running, by the way. I will tell you the total when we come back from this brief break. All right, you guys, I want to remind you about Pure Talk. In all the time that I have been endorsing my wireless company, Pure Talk, I've never seen an offer like this. Right now, you can get unlimited talk, unlimited text, and unlimited data with a 30 gig hotspot for just $29.95 a month for life. This is Pure Talk's top tier plan, which is normally $65 a month. Right now, through December 7th, you can get all of this for just $29.95 a month. You're saving over 50% a month, every month for life. And it's all on their crazy fast 5G network. But this offer is extremely short-lived, of course, so do not wait. Go to puretalk.com/Owens for Pure Talk's best unlimited plan for just $29.95 a month for life. Make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and you can start saving with their unlimited plan for life. Again, that's puretalk.com/Owens to switch to my wireless company, which is Pure Talk. Also remind you guys about American Financing, because what if you could delay your next two mortgage payments? I mean, you can imagine putting those two payments in your pocket and finally getting a little bit of breathing room ahead of the holidays. Well, that's possible. If you call American Financing today, you're feeling stretched by everyday expenses, groceries, gas, and bills that are piling up. You are not alone. Most Americans are putting these expenses on credit cards, and credit card rates are insane in the 20s or even 30s right now. Well, American Financing can show you how to use your home's equity to pay off that debt with rates in the low fives. Their salary-based mortgage consultants are helping homeowners just like you restructure their loans and save money every month, all without any upfront fees. Their customers are saving an average of $800 a month, which is like a $10,000 raise without having to change jobs. So call American Financing today at 800-795-1210. Again, that's 800-795-1210, or visit AmericanFinancing.net/Owens, AmericanFinancing.net/Owens. Okay, we actually are going to pull that email because you know how the internet is. If I don't post a receipt, they'll say it never happened. So we're going to pull that email that Eric Bolling sent about Adam, because it really demonstrates the fickleness of politics. First, getting to the poll, I asked you, with all that information, do you believe the federal government worked behind the scenes to try to bankrupt me over Brigitte, which is something that I had never considered until now and learning about what goes on in this corner of Wilmington, Delaware. 24,856 people voted. Oh, now it's about to cross 25,000 people voted. 93% of you say yes. Okay. Just making sure that you're all having the same gut instinct of me of why the heck did they sue in Delaware? What is this never before seen lawsuit? It is a consequence from the Matrix for me discussing a multinational state secret, which is Brigitte Macron. Brigitte Macron's true origins, what Brigitte Macron was involved in the United States while living as Jean-Michel Trogneau. And by the way, I think there's another identity in between there that happens potentially in the 80s for Brigitte before he emerges as a woman. And I think it's quite dark, whatever that secret is, to be honest with you. But we had kind of gotten sidetracked on becoming Brigitte, and we should maybe get back involved in it. Anyways, getting into the top comment from the last episode, and Skylar, just let me know when you have that email ready. This was how did Andrew Colvett know that it was supposed to be Candace if the killer is Tyler Robinson? That was actually something that I had never considered. I told you guys that Andrew Colvett called me from the hospital and basically said you and Tucker should shut up because you guys are on a list. What list? Nobody mentioned that Tyler Robinson had a list. And certainly if he's killing over the topic of transgenderism, I don't think me and Tucker would be high on it. So yeah, what are we speaking about? If this was a lone shooter and just a random incident because he was defending his lover, how is there a list? What was that list that was happening behind the scenes? It's almost like Tucker and I were being threatened from the United States military. And I should really say the global state military, because I do believe that we are run by the military. And that the idea of democracy is an utter delusion. Now, okay, great. We have the email just to fact check this because it's funny. And we should now call him Alex for the rest of our lives. Eric wrote, hey man, this was an email, by the way, to my PR. Tell Candace I meant no harm to her. It was that Alex guy who kept at it. He tried to corner me and he found out. If she wants to talk, I'll call her. If not, no worries. I've lost too many people in my life to get too emotional about these things. I've always respected CO. That moment got blown out of proportion. Anyway, I remain. And my message back was, keep that same energy. You went onto a podcast. You lied about my relationship with Charlie right after he died, when I was still reeling from so many emotions. I was then being attacked and lied about a very real relationship that I had in my life. And you're just going to privately email this little sucker apology. Keep the same energy. Do it publicly. Say I lied or I misspoke, whichever it is. He's not done that. He's not moved to do that. I don't believe he did. At least it wasn't sent to us. And he calls, he throws that guy Alex or whatever, who wouldn't stop talking. So that's him. He's just Alex who won't stop talking on the PBD podcast because his only mission in life is to defend Zionism, to defend Zionists and to attack people who don't like what Israel is doing, which is virtually everybody at this point. So anyways, I think we are just so over time that I don't know that we're gonna have too much space here for comments, and we have so much to cover this week. I'll read a couple of these. Mickey Shaw writes, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We fear no man. Candace is our champion. Jesus is our king. Bless you. And that is true. We just have to commit ourselves to truth. And like I said, I sense an urgency right now. They are being so evil in our faces. They chose to publicly execute Charlie and then to dare us to question the narrative. That's scary. That is. That it's meant to scare you and to instill fear in you. And the response to this, of course, has to be more truth. We cannot be fearful. We have to keep telling the truth. Fagliano writes, these elites are horror show cruel. I am understanding in a way that I didn't before why people believe in God. In the face of this, it provides meaning and comfort available from little else. Shame on officials everywhere who disregard morality, especially the powerful ones. Also, Nick, stop being so ignorant. It's annoying. Genevieve writes, Candace, you are my personal hero. Go Max. 6-7 writes, Candace is based. Blessed Butterfly Girl writes, Jeremiah 1:7-8, don't be afraid to speak. And also Corinthians 3:17, where God is, there is liberty. Absolutely. And that is why, you know, I'm putting the information out there. I think people need to know that this is how things are planned. There's nothing that makes sense about what happened on that day. And when you speak to the UVU students, the fact that they didn't recognize anybody indicates that we might be looking at military regiments that were there. And from the information that I am getting, which I'm going to explain later this week, I think there were some National Guard regiments that were there, some French Foreign Legionnaires that were there, and yes, some Israelis that were there, hence the 12 Israeli cell phones, and that information is all going to come to light. Like I said to you from the beginning, I never had for a single second the sense that they were going to get away with it this time. I felt the devil had overplayed his hand. And that is the circumstance. We are seeing that. I think Brigitte overplayed his hand. I think Jean-Michel Trogneau, the evidence is pointing to the fact that he is from a very powerful old family. That's pretty obvious to me. The entire Trogneau backstory makes entirely no sense, saying that they were chocolatiers and things were never interrupted. They just ran this chocolatier factory from like the 1880s all the way through to now. Not possible. Nazis did an aerial bombardment. They occupied the city of Amiens. This seems to me to be an identity that was just created and materialized for this family, and that the true family is a very powerful family, and that is why they are so obsessed with protecting this absurd state secret. The whole world knows this is a dude. What are we doing here? And they are willing to go mask down and to expose themselves to keep up this pretense, to keep pretending that it's a woman. Why did Jean-Michel have to transition, quote unquote, into a woman? What was Jean-Michel Trogneau involved in that required that transition? These are now the questions that I am asking myself. And you know what? If the federal government is going to bankrupt us for telling the truth, then I'm going to have to be the example for the world to wake up to that, okay? Then even this lawsuit in a weird way is blessed because it is exposing every layer of corruption that exists, that even when you do things the right way your entire life, when you don't commit any crimes, when you do the right thing and you find someone that loves you, you get married, you have children, that you will be attacked for surviving the matrix and committing yourself to truth. That feels like a very important lesson for the entire world to wake up to. And I think the entire world is waking up to that right now. So you know what? Joke's on you. You will be hoisted by your own petard. And we will end with that French expression. We'll see you guys tomorrow.